It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. School shooting in Southern California.
This is a very dangerous situation.
That is our top story at noon. Police in Santa Clarita, California say five people shot at Saugus High School today, two in critical condition. That school in lockdown.
These police officers are highly trained for these kind of unfortunate incidents. So what they're now doing is they're canvassing and they're talking to various students to try to get a description of the shooter.
Former D.C. homicide detective Ted Williams.
What is happening right now is that law enforcement are canvassing all of that area surrounding that school to try to find the perpetrator or perpetrator.
Police looking for a suspect described as an Asian man dressed in black. Reporter Megan Reyes has the view from overhead.
You can see all these students, they're all on their cell phones, most likely texting their parents, letting them know what's happening, letting their parents know that they are okay.
Again, a school shooting in Southern California today, about 40 miles north of L.A., five people injured, two said to be in critical condition. Investigating the president, that is the other big story at noon.
This is a sham. Shouldn't be allowed.
Explosive testimony yesterday from the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine in the public impeachment hearing of President Trump.
Last Friday, a member of my staff told me of events that occurred on July 26th. The member of my staff could hear President Trump on the phone asking Ambassador Sondland about the investigations.
Bill Taylor, the star witness for House Democrats.
And Ambassador Sondland told President Trump that the Ukrainians were ready to move forward.
He did.
Taylor's testimony, however, did not impress House Republicans. Ohio's Jim Jordan called it a muddy mess.
We got six people having four conversations in one sentence, and you just told me this is where you got your clear understanding. I've seen church prayer chains that are easier to understand than this.
But Democratic strategist Kevin Walling says Taylor's testimony was a big blow to President Trump.
Because it laid out methodically the timeline involved with holding up that aid. And yes, the aid was given to Ukraine 2 days after the press reported that it was being held up and 2 days after the whistleblower report came out. So only under pressure of public scrutiny was that aid released to the Ukrainians.
President Trump says he didn't watch 1 minute of yesterday's public impeachment hearing, which resumes tomorrow when the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, will testify. Former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick jumping into the already crowded field of Democratic White House hopefuls. Political analyst Ed O'Keefe says his chances aren't very good.
He plans to run as a moderate who can bring his party and the country back together. How Patrick can quickly build up a campaign, raise the millions of dollars needed, and make it into the debates remains unclear. No one in the modern era has ever entered the race for president this late in the game and prevailed.
Tomorrow's the deadline to file the papers to be on the ballot for New Hampshire's first-in-the-nation primary. The Walmart store in El Paso, Texas, where 22 people were killed in a mass shooting back in August, opened for business today, the retailer hiring off-duty police officers to be on hand for today's reopening. At the University of Southern California, police looking into nine deaths this semester alone. Many appear to be drug overdoses. Some students, though, say the school isn't doing enough.
I think they're trying to push the responsibility off and not being held accountable for, like, student debt.
The school's president promises USC will double down on drug and alcohol education and outreach. New poll by the American Psychological Association shows more than half of U.S. adults today say the 2020 race for the White House is stressing them out.
We saw 56% of folks identifying the election as a significant stressor.
Psychologist Jim Diaz says the fact that there are so many candidates also stressing folks out. So too is all the impeachment talk.
The issue of impeachment and whether the president is going to be impeached, whether he's going to be removed, whether that's going to have an impact on the 2020 election. Regardless of where you stand on that, it's still another source of uncertainty.
And while politics can be stressful. The experts say mass shootings, the number one stressor for U.S. adults in America today. Still to come this Thursday, will he stay or will he go? The latest on Buffalo Bishop Richard Malone, plus drag queen story time tonight in Elmira. And get ready for the mass exodus. The holiday travel season has begun.
Good afternoon. Well, it's not exactly a heat wave, but the temperatures, they are trending higher for now compared to recent days. I'll be back with forecast details coming up shortly.
Thank you, Kevin. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Thursday, November 14th. The Steele Memorial Library in Elmira, New York, hosting a transgender-friendly event tonight. A drag queen will be reading the book Frozen to young kids. Local pastor Kelly Todd says Christians need to respond with truth and love.
I believe Jesus would reach out to those who are trapped in this lifestyle. We need to build relationships with them. He would listen to them, and then he would speak truth into their lives.
Todd says Christians can't hide in their churches and ignore uncomfortable topics.
We have a tendency to build walls around the things that make us uncomfortable. We can't love people as Christ has commanded us to if we hide behind walls of our church.
Todd says Christians need to be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to changing the culture.
We need to be the influencers in our communities. We need to be on school boards. We need to be on library committees. We need to lead scout troops. We need to volunteer in community activities. We need to run for political office. And as Christ followers, we need to make our presence known in the communities where we worship.
The Steele Library says drag queen story time gives kids, quote, glamorous and positive gay role models. Embattled Buffalo Bishop Richard Malone denying a report that claims he could be gone as soon as tomorrow. The embattled leader of the Catholic Church in Western New York has resisted calls to step down for months now over his handling of the priest's sex abuse scandal.
I think it would be a relief for many survivors in the Buffalo diocese.
Abuse survivor James Faluschak says Bishop Malone has turned a blind eye towards pedophile priests for too long, and it's time for him to go.
We certainly need to see a change in the leadership of this diocese. I think even more importantly, we need a change of heart within the diocese.
Reporter Christopher Lamb claims Bishop Malone's resignation is imminent.
The bishops from the New York State are going to be meeting with Pope Francis on Friday. Rome and the Vatican, having been quite slow to follow what was going on in Buffalo, are now across the situation, and it is my understanding that the resignation is coming very soon.
That's reporter Christopher Lamb. Bishop Malone, though, today said he's not going anywhere. And there's another twist to this story. The Brooklyn bishop sent to investigate the Buffalo diocese has himself been charged with abusing a child. Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio, sent by Pope Francis to investigate the priest scandal in Western New York. Now DiMarzio facing charges that he abused a boy in New Jersey in the mid-70s. Catholic scholar Rocco Palmo.
Just the fact that it's taking place against this wild backdrop, what was already a wild backdrop, with Bishop Malone, Bishop DiMarzio, Cardinal Dolan of New York, and all the bishops of New York State in Rome to meet with the Pope, and this has been arranged for a year and a half, just kind of adds to the surreal nature and the drama of what's going to happen when the Pope meets with all the bishops in New York State for 2.5 hours on Friday morning.
That's Catholic scholar Rocco Palmo. Students at Syracuse University held a sit-in over the school's response to racist graffiti that was found in a dorm, and they've given the chancellor a list of their demands. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Chancellor Kent Siverud said he was disappointed with the initial response, and he has instructed his leadership team to keep students, faculty, and staff informed. The students, who have organized under the name #NotAgainSU, issued a list of demands and say if they're not met by next Wednesday, they will ask Siverud and Chief Inclusion Officer Keith Alford to resign. The students want the university to expel any student involved in racist graffiti and a same race option for roommate selection on the housing application. Chancellor Siverud called the list thoughtful and constructive and said the university will be responding. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Geneva, New York could soon start fining people if they don't clear the snow from their sidewalks. The city wants residents to report any violations they see. Bethany Haswell owns a bookstore in Geneva. She supports the controversial law.
It's to me a safety issue, especially in the neighborhoods where the kids are walking to school.
The law gives folks 24 hours after a snowstorm to clear the sidewalks in Geneva, New York. If you do not, the city will do it for you. On your dime. Niagara Falls, New York residents may soon have to pay to have their garbage picked up. Council member Kenny Tompkins hopes the city can find the funds to keep that from happening.
I'd like to see us come up with enough cuts that we don't have to have a garbage user fee. We should be doing everything to find that money somewhere in the budget, or we can make other cuts without having to put the burden on the taxpayer.
The city also looking at changes to overtime for cops and firefighters. It's worse than they thought. Officials are digging deeper into the Harrisburg School District's financial woes.
It was probably worse. The business practices were entirely irregular.
Acting school superintendent John George.
It's probably a failure of leadership at all levels.
The state of Pennsylvania took over the Harrisburg School District's finances last summer. Officials say that district, $2.6 million in the hole. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the upstate economy, booming.
All the arrows are pointed up. It is undeniable progress. You feel it. You see it. It's on people's faces. It's in all the numbers. All the arrows are pointed
up. But Ken Pakulski with the Business Council says a new report showing a much different picture.
It's hard to say which is the cause and which is the effect, but we know both of these factors, lower number of jobs and a smaller population, smaller workforce, has been affecting upstate for a better part of 30 years.
Pakulski says New York's tough business climate is forcing jobs and people out of the state. Medical marijuana. A big business in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania's medical marijuana program has passed $500 million in sales since it began dispensing the drug nearly 2 years ago. 147,000 people are currently certified to purchase medicinal marijuana at one of 72 dispensaries across the Commonwealth. Pennsylvania's 2016 medical marijuana law permits its use for a list of conditions that include AIDS, autism, cancer, chronic pain, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Hunters in New York now prohibited from bringing whole carcasses of deer into the state under new regulations aimed at stopping the spread of chronic wasting disease. Officials say the disease hasn't shown up yet in New York, and they're hoping to keep it that way. DEC officers will be monitoring roads along state borders and will seize, then destroy, whole carcasses that are illegally imported into New York. Thanksgiving, just a couple of weeks away now, and a church in Elmira needs your help. The Shabbat Tabernacle holding a free Thanksgiving feast, and they need some volunteers.
You can volunteer a half an hour, you can volunteer all day, whatever you're able to do, whatever your availability is awesome. You can volunteer at whatever level you're capable of. If you can just greet people at the door, that's a wonderful thing.
The church has been putting on the event for 13 years. AAA predicts more than 55 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more from home this Thanksgiving. That is the second highest total ever. The Wednesday afternoon before Thanksgiving expected to be the busiest. Out on the roads, top pitchers in baseball honored last night. Sunny time, 2 minute drill.
Yeah, let's start with the Cy Young Award. The National League winner received all but one vote, and he's your repeat winner, Mets starter Jacob DeGrom.
First of all, I just got to thank God for the opportunity to play this game. You know, none of this would be possible without him. I want to thank my family for all they do, my teammates, the baseball writers, the Mets.
In the American League, Justin Verlander winning again for the first time since 2011, beating out teammate Garrett Cole, 17 first place votes to 13.
2011 was just a magical season, but you know, I hadn't really had to grind through much at that point in time. A lot's changed since then.
8 years is the most between Major League Baseball Cy Young wins. Congratulations. Major League Baseball awards wrap up tonight with the MVP. Thursday night football, Steelers head to Cleveland to clash with the Browns. Steelers, who started the season 0-3, have won four in a row to get back in the playoff hunt at 5-4. Quarterback Mason Rudolph.
Trying to push the mud off of us from that early September, you know, run we had there of losing some games, and we're kind of coming into our own as an offense, I think, and moving in the right direction. Just got to keep stacking wins.
The Browns snapped a four-game losing streak, beating Buffalo last week. Can't wait to play in front of the Dog Pound, says Baker Mayfield.
Great atmosphere for us. You know, the singular mindset and focus that we need to have. It just so happens that we're playing a division opponent, so it's a big one for us. We know that, and we have to treat it as such to do our job.
The Steelers are 15-2-1 against the Browns since 2010. On the ice, Islanders remain hot, beating the Maple Leafs 5-4. That's their 12th win in 13 games. New Jersey falling to Ottawa. Flyers fall to Ovechkin and the Capitals in a shootout 2-1. Penguin star Sidney Crosby had core muscle surgery. He's out 6 weeks. In the NBA, the Magic outscored the Sixers by 17 in the fourth for a 112-97 win. Raptors beat Portland 114-106. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Thursday edition of the Noon Report, school shooting in Southern California will have the very latest timeout in the impeachment probe and getting arrested for annoying a cop.
Environmentalism, careerism, consumerism, these all treat God's earthly blessings as curses. But this countercultural statement calls the church to reaffirm that children are a gift. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A recent open letter from the Alliance of World Scientists began this way. We declare, with more than 11,000 scientist signatories from around the world, that planet Earth is facing a climate emergency. The letter is then filled with urgent language and what the authors consider irrefutable proof that human beings are destroying the planet. And they offer their prescription. In addition to emissions reductions, renewable energy, and carbon taxes, the authors think it's time to say no to children. World population, they write, must be stabilized, ideally gradually reduced. To this end, they urge governments and international bodies to make family planning services, including abortion, available to all people. Now, if that sounds like a call for state-run population control, it is. Ironically, that call comes at a time when developed nations are already saying no to children at an unprecedented rate, and not for environmental reasons. In fact, an increasing number of demographers are now convinced that we're on the brink of a global population bust. As we've pointed out many times on Breakpoint, a childless society brings devastating economic, social, and spiritual consequences. In a survey reported last year in the New York Times, one of the main reasons young respondents give for wanting fewer children or none at all is a desire for more leisure time. As one young woman put it, she'd rather be traveling with her fiancé, focusing on her job and education, and playing with her cats than having kids. Increasingly, in a culture habituated towards self-interest and sexual freedom, children are viewed as curses rather than blessings, as obstacles to achieving dreams, finding happiness, and even to keeping the planet cool. Against this backdrop, the Christian view of children as gifts from God, well, that's as countercultural as it gets. And yet, countercultural is exactly what the church is called to be right now, especially in how we welcome and talk about the next generation. The newest statement from Evangelicals and Catholics Together, which is an initiative Chuck Colson co-founded with Father Richard John Newhouse years ago, points the way forward. It's called The Gift of Children. It's a bold and detailed reminder of how God views little ones. It's also the kind of statement that's bound to offend modern sensibilities. As Evangelicals and Catholics, the statement reads, "We agree that a society in which nearly all fertile women are, in one form or another, rendered infertile by contraceptive technologies, reflects a profoundly disordered view of sex, children, human nature, and environmental responsibility. Increasingly today, couples are forced to justify their desire to have children, but this statement insists that parenthood is the most natural of things. It's worth sacrifices, even if that means fewer zeros on a paycheck, less square footage in a house, or fewer cars in the garage." Even more fundamentally, the statement proclaims the birth of a child is charged with transcendent meaning. Children are living affirmations that God's creation is good, and they compel us, like nothing else in life, to serve a future we cannot control and to trust that God is not yet finished with this world. The gift of children offers the radically countercultural understanding of children that's needed right now. More importantly, it gives a challenge to the church to conform ourselves to our professed beliefs, to bear witness through welcoming new life to the love of the God who gave us life. Well, come to Breakpoint.org, click on this commentary. I'll link you to this powerful statement, which is co-signed by Christian leaders, both Catholic and evangelical, including me. I hope you'll read it in full and share it with your friends, your family, and your pastor, and use it to spark a long overdue discussion. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
All right. right, 20 minutes past the hour of the weekend, almost here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional forecast. Hope all is well in your world. Weather-wise, we're finding a little break from some of the bitter cold. Temperatures will still be running below normal these next couple days, but not as far below normal as recent days have been. Our call for this afternoon, fairly cloudy across much of New York, and any flurries will fade. In Pennsylvania, clouds mixing with some sun at times. Temperatures peaking in the 30s and low 40s. Tonight, moonlit in central and eastern Pennsylvania. A fair amount of cloudiness elsewhere. Maybe a touch of lake effect rain and snow in far western New York. Low temps, mostly 20s and low 30s. Then for tomorrow, we've got a mostly sunny mild day, milder in central and eastern Pennsylvania. Sunshine giving way to clouds elsewhere in Pennsylvania with some showers of snow and rain in northwest Pennsylvania and across western and central New York. High temperatures tomorrow, 30s and lower 40s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here's some of the stories we're following for you today. Thursday, November 11th, school shooting in Southern California. Police in Santa Clarita now say three people have been injured at Saugus High School, two in critical condition.
You have several contact teams in the bushes, in the hills. If we can start pushing this way, and if you can canvas this way, and then we'll work it from there.
That's police. They're looking for an Asian suspect seen running from that high school dressed in black. The public impeachment inquiry into President Trump resumes tomorrow. Former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine Marie Yovanovitch will testify, but it's going to be the private testimony that could shed more light on the Ukraine scandal. The State Department staffer claims he overheard a phone call between President Trump and the EU ambassador, Gordon Sondland.
He is based at the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine, but he'll be here on Capitol Hill tomorrow testifying behind closed doors.
Nancy Cordes reporting that State Department staffer was featured prominently in yesterday's public hearing. Make way, Democrats, former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick jumping into the presidential race.
Can't know if you can break through if you don't get out there and try.
Patrick plans to run as a moderate Democrat. He says he doesn't think Joe Biden is cutting it. Political analyst Ed O'Keefe.
The 63-year-old served two terms as Massachusetts governor, the first African-American to do so, and the only Democrat to hold the job this century. But it's the work he did before and after his time as governor that's likely to raise questions. He once served as the top lawyer at the oil company Texaco, and most recently worked for the private equity firm Bain Capital. That could draw scrutiny from those critical of corporate wealth.
That's political analyst Ed O'Keefe. Elections officials in Kentucky starting the process of recounting votes totals in last week's race for governor. Republican Matt Bevin refusing to concede.
Where some people have concern is that it seems those who have the responsibility are a little bit conflicted and seem to be very non-transparent.
So Bevin trails his Democratic challenger Andy Beshear by more than 5,000 votes. New research today from Stanford University shows staggered injections of an antibody can protect people with severe peanut allergies. Erica Noel from New York City says her 13-year-old son suffers from severe peanut allergies.
Even as far as like getting a burger in a diner, I have to find out if the bread was made in a plant that has been cross-contaminated with peanuts.
And Noel says she hopes the study can one day lead to a cure for her teenage son. New survey shows as many as 38 million Americans are willing to boycott gift giving this year to save money. Bankrate.com says nearly two-thirds of adults say they felt pressure to overspend during the holiday season.
Heading into the holidays, there's a lot of happiness happening, but there's also a lot of anxiety with people feeling pressured to spend more than they're comfortable with.
Pollster Adrian Garcia says the financial pressure comes in part from holiday-related social gatherings.
The number one way people said they were willing to save money during the holidays was just to stay home. So maybe that looks like hosting a social gathering at your house instead of traveling to your in-laws.
The experts say the best way to cut the stress when it comes to holiday spending is to stick to a budget. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Kelly Todd, pastor of Belden Bethel Chapel in Harpersville, New York. Kelly, there's another drag queen story time happening in the Southern Tier. This time it's in Elmira, tonight at the Steele Memorial Library. During these events, men dress in their drag attire to look like women, and they read to young children. Sometimes they read inappropriate sexual material. Tonight, we've been told the book Frozen will be read. This event is geared towards kids. Do you think events like this make children more vulnerable to transgender issues down the road?
Yes, I do. Children are very impressionable and trusting. When an adult says something is okay, they're saying that behavior is acceptable. Normal has changed drastically. John Cooper of Skillet posted an article on Facebook. He said, "We are normalizing sin," and it's true. The thing we need to remember as Christ followers is we are not normal.
Yeah, we're aliens in this world. How do you think Jesus might respond to a drag queen story time?
First, I believe he would rebuke religious leaders of today who excuse or ignore the activity. And I think that we have a lot of that going on. Today is the day that pastors and influencers need to speak the truth no matter what the subject is. And Jesus did just that. He took on the hard issues of his time. And second, I believe Jesus would reach out to those who are trapped in this lifestyle. We need to build relationships with them. He would listen to them, and then he would speak truth into their lives. When you look at the narrative of the woman at the well, Jesus had a conversation with this lady. He spoke to her, he listened to her, and he spoke truth into her life. And the result was not only her desire to follow Christ, but she influenced the community to come and listen to what he had to say.
Yeah, and she kind of went out to be one of those early evangelists. And we can be doing that as well, loving on people, but also calling sin, sin.
Exactly.
Do you think Christian response to this is similar to how we need to respond to homosexuality or gender identity in our culture?
Yeah, but Christians are not unified on a response to these issues. Some Christians condemn the sin and the sinner, and others do not consider it to be a sin at all. But our response must be that we are in the world and not of it. We can't hide in our churches and ignore the issue. I'm one of the people who have done this in the past, but we have a tendency to build walls around the things that make us uncomfortable. We can't love people as Christ has commanded us to if we hide behind walls of our church. The Apostle Paul uses a lot of military terminology, and the armor that he gave us is to stand in the midst of a battle and to advance forward. We need to be the influencers in our communities. We need to be on school boards. We need to be on library committees. We need to lead scout troops. We need to volunteer in community activities. We need to run for political office. And as Christ followers, we need to make our presence known in the communities where we worship.
It reminds me that the salt looks really nice in the shaker, but it's much more effective when it's sprinkled. We as Christians are kind of like that too. When we're in the holy huddle, that might look nice. And sometimes we need that for equipping, but then we also need to go out and be that salt and light in our culture.
Exactly.
Kelly, the library leaders for this event claim that the drag queen story time help expose kids to people who are different. Do you think there are better ways to foster an appreciation for people who are different?
The Bible speaks a lot about diversity, even in spiritual gifts that we need to use with each other in the church. I have been on many missions trips, and I saw many different people just in Haiti. One thing I can tell you is this, is there are a lot of different people, not just around the world, but around us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Cultures that our children and even adults know very little about. And I remember back when I was in the fourth grade, we had a teacher who was very much interested in Native American culture. She brought that into her classroom, and we learned about the diversity of the Native American.
I don't know if many people have done this lately, but had an international night where you make different types of food and then you learn different customs. It's just taking an interest in caring enough and asking some questions.
Yeah.
Any other insights you think that our listeners would benefit from when it comes to being salt and light in the world?
We just need to get out there and make our presence known, because even the church is diverse, and we can make a difference in the community if we just share the love of Christ. That's what's been lacking, and we need to get out there and actually put our feet on the road.
That's Pastor Kelly Todd with Belden Bethel Chapel. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Good stuff. Thank you, Tracy. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional forecast. Hope all is well in your world. Weather-wise, we're finding a little break from some of the bitter cold. Temperatures will still be running below normal these next couple days, but not as far below normal as recent days have been. Our call for this afternoon, fairly cloudy across much of New York. And any flurries will fade. In Pennsylvania, clouds mixing with some sun at times. Temperatures peaking in the 30s and low 40s. Tonight, moonlit in central and eastern Pennsylvania. A fair amount of cloudiness elsewhere. Maybe a touch of Lake Effect rain and snow in far western New York. Low temps, mostly 20s and low 30s. Then for tomorrow, we've got a mostly sunny, mild day, milder in central and eastern Pennsylvania. Sunshine giving way to clouds elsewhere in Pennsylvania with some showers of snow and rain in northwest Pennsylvania and across western and central New York. High temperatures tomorrow, 30s and lower 40s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noon, pestering a police officer could get you a year in the slammer. In upstate New York, here's Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Under a proposal recently approved by the Monroe County Legislature, a person who annoys, alarms, or threatens the safety of a cop could be punished by up to a year behind bars and a $5,000 fine. The legislation also applies to first responders. The county executive will now hold a public hearing on the plan before deciding whether to approve it. Critics claim the measure is unconstitutional, while supporters say the local law looks after those who look out for us. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. That is the world we live in this Thursday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.